Chuck and Julie, bringing you the truth straight up.
I'm Julie Hayden. I'm working
at an Emmy-winning former investigative reporter, a highly successful trial attorney, and publisher of a major Denver area newspaper. They've been partners as talk show hosts and in marriage, as parents for over 10 years, providing thought-provoking information, opinion, and entertainment live, local, and interactive. Everyone's voice is always welcome on the Chuck and Julie Show.
Well, welcome to a great Chuck and Julie Show, at least we hope so. It's Chuck Bonnywell, Julie Hayden, the Chuck and Julie Grassroots Show, True Straight Up.
And the show is brought to you by Mountain West Wellness, Advanced Acupuncture and Chinese Medicine, along with happytrees.co. Okay, so this is the great debate.
Well, that's before the great debate. We want to remind everyone that we'll be moderating the candidates' debate for vice chair. We have five candidates. We'll be on the GOP Facebook or one another.
We're going to be live streaming on the Facebook.
Live streaming page. And there are five great candidates, really. Really going to be hotly contested, and we're thrilled to be able to be moderating.
And that's tomorrow from 6 to 8.
In the meantime.
Great debate today. Chuck Bonnywell, George Brockler on the so-called Bonnywell Amendment. So, George, what we're going to do is I'll read the amendment, and then we'll kind of start off with you because you're the guest, and I'll only step in if it gets really boring. No, I'm kidding.
But I'd like to do one precatory remark. People ask me sometimes these days, how can you still be a friend of George Brockler?
Stop hanging out with my dad.
What I tell them at the crib from Martin Luther King, I judge friends on the content of their character, not the present context of their politics. And I consider George Brockler a great guy. I really do. I honestly do. We've known each other for maybe 20 years. And it's like Peter Boyles. Peter Boyles and I are best friends, and we agree. Yeah. And so is Ted Trimpa, a very good friend, and we agree about nothing. So, you know, back when I was back east in prep school in 64, I was the only kid in the school. And I'm talking about the waiter staff, the janitors, the principal. It was for Barry Goldwater. And so I learned a long time ago that if I wanted to have any friends, I had to have friends that didn't necessarily agree with me on a lot of things.
And I thought you were going to say you were the only kid in prep school north of 6'4".
Well, that's you, I suppose.
He wasn't in prep school in 1964. He was in prep school in 1986.
Yeah. 92, I think.
I was right. The math.
It's a privilege to have you on, and I appreciate you
having me. This is my first time on the show. I've been on the show with you guys on the radio all the time. This is my first time on this awesome show.
ChuckandJulie.com. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to read the proposed amendment, okay? And then, George, we'll let you kind of take it away first. So this is a proposed amendment that the Central Committee of the Colorado Republican Party will be voting on Saturday. It has caused a surprising amount of controversy, but here it is. Whereas CR blah, blah, blah requires an approval of at least 75% or more of the total membership of the party's state central committee to authorize the opt-out nomination process by assembly or convention, the failure to submit a ballot by a CRC voting member during this specific question shall be defined and deemed for all purposes to be a vote in the affirmative on the proposed opt-out. This Section E article shall not apply to any other question or vote that the state central committee may consider. So,
and I'll add one other thing. The GOP was kind enough to invite all the SCC to join the show. So you've got a ton of fellow. Are you a member of the SCC, State Central Committee?
No, I used to be.
Yeah, you used to be on the executive.
Yeah. I think I was a while ago in my different capacities. But right now, I'm pretty sure it's Kathleen Chandler who is cursing me
good
for
friend
being
from,
stuck in this.
Yeah.
Oh, Kathleen's terrific. She's terrific.
She's great. Yeah.
George, you can watch all the meetings in case, you know, you get bored or something like that, probably on Zoom or something. So, let me ask you then, your reaction. You have come out, I think, opposing this. What's your reaction?
Well, let me give a little bit of background here on my position on this in total. One, I am not a fan of an open primary. I grew up in a system that made total sense to me, which is Republicans pick their standard bearers. I don't like the idea of people who don't like football, don't root for the Broncos, having any input on who the quarterback's going to be. So I'm sold on the idea that our current system that we have is not one that I would have chosen, and I didn't vote for it. Having said that, we're stuck now with this Proposition 108 that wasn't the product of the legislature. It really was the product of us, probably not our votes, but us. And it has created this 75% rule to opt out. That's a hell of a burden. 75% is more than a supermajority. It's like a supermajority. It is big. And I think that practically speaking, it probably works to make a party's ability to opt out not impossible, but on the road to impossible. It's very, very difficult. And the way that it's phrased, and I think we've interpreted this correctly for purposes of the amendment, suggests that it's not just a quorum. It's not a majority of a quorum, 75% of a quorum, which is what you might get in any other setting. It is 75% of this body, whether they show up, how, it doesn't matter. You got to get 75% to consent to this. So I get why we have these dual track options to try to get us out from under that yoke. One is, and we just saw it happen. I had Randy on the show today. Randy's filed a lawsuit along with John Eastman on behalf of the party. That's one track. This appears to me to be another track. Looking at this, the concerns that I have, the objection that I have is I, and Chuck and Julie, you guys are smarter than I am. You, maybe you've found this example, but Randy couldn't and Dave couldn't, Dave Williams, when I had him on the show yesterday. And that is, where else in democracy or the republic do we treat your non-appearance as an affirmative vote? Where else do we treat your abstention as an affirmative vote? And so I get that part of the problem here is, hey, they've set this incredibly high bar, and sometimes people don't come to the central committee. I didn't go to all the central committee meetings. I get that. That doesn't seem to me to be a door opener for the idea that now we're going to adopt something that in principle we would never apply anywhere else in the way we govern ourselves. That's my objection to it. And so the question I posed to both Randy and Dave on the radio was, well, listen, I understand the idea of how do we address people that no show? What do we do with them? But what do you do with folks that do show? And they stand there and they listen to the debate. They listen to Chuck and Randy and they hear the reasons why this is so important. But they hear the other side too. And whether it's someone from Weld County or Arapahoe or whatever. And they're like, I get it. I don't want to do this. I don't want to change the rules. I'm not going to vote in favor of this. But I also don't want to go on record opposing Chuck or Randy. Or I don't want to. So I'm just going to abstain from my vote. It seems to me my reading of this amendment would say, don't care. You are required to vote. And unless you vote no, you will be treated as a yes. So that's it. That's my objection.
All right. Well, lawsuit. I'm the vice chairman of the litigation. I was the chairman of Parable, which is a principal plaintiff in the prior case that came before Judge Kane, which you read with such glee on air.
And it's which one? Which one was
Judge,
this?
Judge Kane in district court.
No, but which case was this?
Parable.
The previous
case. The Parable previous. And lots of other Republicans versus Janet Griswold.
This is a previous.
Oh, this was the first version of Randy's suit where it was.
Right. Yes. I was the main plaintiff.
I got it.
I was the main plaintiff.
Thanks.
Or Parable was the main plaintiff and so forth.
Yeah.
And so I sat through the entire hearing. Which I think Randy described in your show is very professionally done. And then the opinion, which was leering and mocking and everything else. But in it, part of the reason the court, after it gave its saying, it's not the Republican Party, so you're thrown out for standing, did give it in dicta 5 or 6 pages, which you read from, saying, you know, everything you say is ridiculous.
Because you're Republicans.
And here's
yeah, that's right.
Here's a quote. The CRP, Republican Party, is free to select a closed nomination process, and it's free to amend its bylaws to encourage or require greater participation in its meeting for selecting the nominating method. So I took Judge Kane's words, and I said, okay, how can we amend our bylaws to make this a little bit more fair? And so you really have only two choices. You can, and I took the least of onerous ones. And you say, Is there anywhere else in democracy they require you to vote? Yes. Starting in 1892 in Belgium, they said you had a mandatory vote. In 1914 in Argentina, you had to vote. And ever since 1924, Australians are mandated to vote. They don't have a choice of not voting. They must vote. And if you don't vote, then you are fined or put in jail. Well, that seems draconian to me. So we only have two choices then. We have a choice of saying you're no longer a member of the state central committee if you don't show up, and your membership is temporarily or permanently revoked. I didn't want to do that. So I took the least onerous way, and I said, look, we'll just consider your vote a yes vote because we have this 75% huge difference, which is really incredible. And so, you know, there isn't the, well, my problem is to, and of course, for coming up with this simple little amendment, I think you called me a Machiavellian. Your good friend.
No, I did say it was Machiavellian. I would never call a Machiavellian.
Well, your good friend Dick Wadham called me a Stalinist. Said I was a Stalinist and a member of the Politburo. I'm not a Stalinist.
You're not a Stalinist.
Not a Stalinist.
No, he's a Pisces.
No, I'm Aquarius, actually. I don't know why, and I've always been wondered about this, why the Democrats can impose on us whatever massive requirements they have. And of course, my computer goes on the fritz immediately and stops giving me what I want. How does it always do that?
You're just going to have to speak.
Well, I have to memorize. 5655 of the Robert's Rules of Order, which are adopted, states that you should never have a requirement of 2/3 or more of the entire membership, because in decent, fair societies, that's a total abortion. And they didn't use the word abortion, saying that destroys any ability of a thing. And it also says in other parts of it that, they're talking about 2/3 of the entire membership. Now it's 75% of the entire membership. Moreover, if you adopt it every year afterward, it automatically ratchets back with no vote. It automatically goes to the old system. Automatically goes to the system. So without being me Machiavellian, what do you suggest I do? I'm part of the litigation. I raised all the money. I remember everybody telling me we couldn't possibly litigate this because it would cost over $1 million. Well, it didn't cost over $1 million, and I raised all the money. So where is it we ever fight back? I mean, Trump, our freedoms are being destroyed. Trump is indicted in Washington, D.C., basically for exercising his First Amendment rights. And I know you believe in the indictment that was brought in Florida. Say, oh, that's a good indictment. Just throw our opponents in jail. That's just this Jim Dandy.
That is not what you heard me say, man.
Well, you said you had. I heard you today.
You
with
took
Randy.
This lily pad and jumped over the lake to a different lily pad.
No, it's all one big lily pad.
As moderator, let me ask this. And then I want Chuck to answer this, and then George, I'll ask you first. Yeah. So just as like a non-lawyer person, where in the universe does it say that if somebody doesn't show up, it has to be a no vote? I mean, if it's Stalinistic to say it's a yes vote, why isn't it Stalinistic to say it's a no vote? I mean, since they make it. So, I mean, how would you explain that? Why is assuming, as long as people know that going in, why is assuming a yes bad, but assuming a no is okay?
I think that's a great question. One, I do not support the notion that Chuck is a Stalinist. Julie, you are a Stalinist. I think everyone knows it. No, I'm kidding. I'm totally joking. I think it's a fair question, but I think the way that the language of the statute makes it pretty clear that what you need to obtain is 75% consent to this. And when you don't have a vote or a vote for no, each one of those things operates as the absence of an affirmative consent. They're not consenting to it. It's not affirmative. Whereas a no vote is pretty clear. I don't want to do it. If you don't vote, treating that like something that it isn't, which is an affirmative vote to get over that 75%, seems to me to be a stretch and in many cases a disenfranchisement. A couple things about what Chuck had said earlier. He brought up three countries, none of which rhyme with the words United States of America.
Well, he said anywhere in democracy. They're democratic countries.
Good point. If you've got one, thank you. If you've got one in America, I'd love to hear it. But here's the other thing.
What do you say? You didn't say that.
But those countries, my guess is if you don't vote, whether they jail you or fine you is one thing. But what they don't do is tell you what your vote equals if you don't cast.
But you have to vote.
If you don't, the answer isn't, well, we're going to treat it as you voted for candidate this or that you voted yes or no.
But it does. So, when you say entire vote of the membership, it means that if you don't vote, it's a no. That's what entire vote
just
means.
It's not a yes. It just means it's not a yes. No, but that's the way the statute's phrased.
No, it doesn't. It means it's an automatic no.
It's not an automatic no. It's not an automatic yes.
It is an automatic no. When they added up the votes from the last vote, they said, okay, 68% of the people voted no. Well, that wasn't just the people at the meeting. It was all the people who didn't show up at the meeting. That was considered a no.
Maybe the way it needs to be reported is, this is the percentage of people that voted yes. This is the percentage that voted no. And these are the percentage of no votes or no opinion. That may be a proper way to report it. I agree with you. It's the same effect. But your issue is with the law. Well, the law says it's got to be 70%.
Democrats, have you ever? I went through in an editorial. I went through when they jammed down mail-in voting after being reversed by the voters refusing it in 2002. Then they jammed it down. I was around when Donetta Davidson said that you can do absentee votes without anyone. I was there when they did ballot harvesting and allowed everyone. When I first went down and became involved in local politics in 2000, the Republicans claimed the governorship, the Senate, and the House. And overwhelmingly, Republicans were increasing in registration from people coming in California to escape it. I talked to people like Mike Feely and Ted Trimpa, and they said, we're going to change all the rules. We're going to change them so you can never win. I said, the Republicans won't let you do that. And they laughed. They say, Phil Anschutz and all the establishment like us. They don't like you grassroots people. They'd rather have us in control than you. They will never fight us on anything. You have not fought, as far as I know, against a single change of all rules. All rules.
What rules? Which one?
Mail-in balloting. That's been found unconstitutional in Delaware. Why didn't you lead a vote? Why didn't you lead a case against mail-in balloting?
Me file a lawsuit on
you. File a lawsuit. You're one of the, and Julie is one of your admirers. She finds you one of the greatest litigators she's ever watched, and she's watched.
I appreciate that, but if someone took one of those mail-in ballots and cut someone's throat, I'm the guy you get on that case. But the mail-in ballot case.
Well, let me back up.
I'll tell you what. I'm vice chairman of the thing. I'm gonna invite you to come down the field, not just take pot shots at us. Come on down the field and help us litigate this. Help us litigate this. Help us litigate.
Help you litigate in Randy's case, the one with Easton?
Yeah. I can get you in.
Yeah. I think I'm actually barred in the federal court. Can I just say that? And Julie, I do want to hear the question.
Why are you barred
in
the federal court?
You know what I mean? Not barred from. Like, I have the little green card that says.
Straying a field. Chuck, so George answered why he thinks that it should be counted, why we have to follow tradition and count it as a no vote. Why do you think that that's without just, you know, why do you think that that's
because,
not the case?
Because that's the only chance.
And it's not tradition. It's the letter of the law.
The letter of the law, as Judge Kane pointed out, says you can change your bylaws to require people to vote. And so I didn't want to throw them off. But you're saying we can't change the bylaws. We have to do the exact same thing before. And so we are left with an open primary. We can never get rid of it and we can never do anything. We must. As our rights are being destroyed, as our country is being destroyed, as our republic is being destroyed, we must sit back passively and say, oh, well, that's the law the Democrats posed.
That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is the ends don't justify the means here. And to simply say, because of this one unique circumstance with this incredibly high, almost prohibitive bar, we need to change the rules to do something that nowhere else in our lives would we tolerate this. I don't subscribe to that as a conservative. For a conservative, principles.
Wait. You don't have principles when all you do is say, do what the Democrats tell you. They adopt a law that's unconstitutional, and you don't fight that. You didn't fight
unconstitutional in Delaware. I don't know that case, but Delaware, my man. What about the other 49 states? Who has declared
it's called mandatory voting? That's what they've imposed upon us. You can't just say we give up. The judge.
It's not mandatory voting.
It is mandatory voting. You have a choice. You can either suspend people and say they can't vote because they're a part of it. Or you can change the vote. But if you don't do either, you do nothing.
Now, because you could have a person, and your rule doesn't provide for this, you could have a person that shows up, a well-meaning, in good faith person that shows up, listens to these arguments, considers your amendment, and says, I don't like that amendment, but I also don't want to vote against it. I simply want to abstain from voting. And they're physically there, and you would say, we're counting you.
Okay, George, I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll amend it again. Saying if you're there in person and you don't vote, your vote is not counted either way. Would that satisfy it? Would that allow us to escape from ever being a Democratic Party?
It's not a question of escape. Man, you and I are on the same page as the idea of Republicans getting to vote.
No, you're not, because you never fight for it. You're never on the field. You're always, you and Dick Wadhams are always throwing grenades at us.
Chuck, I just disagree with the notion that unless you're willing to burn the building down, you're not interested in saving the people inside of it.
I want to hear the answer. Tell us, how do we get out of it?
I think one of the options you had for this right here that would still give voice to the votes and be true to that proposition is to say that every single member, before they show up, has to have a proxy. They have to have a proxy, and it has to be whoever it is. They pick some proxy. And that way, if you don't make it, for whatever reason, you're sick, your car breaks down, you're apathetic, it doesn't matter, and you don't get there. You have built in somebody who can then put voice to that vote.
What if
that,
you don't give a proxy? Maybe you don't want to give a proxy to anybody.
No. Mandating a proxy is far different than mandating an outcome for a vote.
We'll do that, George. You must have a proxy. And if you don't have a proxy, you don't count. Well, let's do it.
No, not that you don't.
Solution.
Yeah, not that you don't count, but you have to have a proxy.
Okay, you have to be there by person or by proxy or what?
Are your votes counted as a yes?
I presume it's death.
Yes.
Death, okay.
We've done away with it here.
No, I'm fascinated because all we do here on the grassroots side, and George is with the Anschutz people, Advanced Colorado, all funded by Phil Anschutz.
Here I
all
go funded. Out of my way to say you're no Stalinist, and all of a sudden you're like,
I'm Brock. Well, I think being an Anschutist, is not the same as being a Stalinist. They never tell you how to do it. They always say, no, that's a bad idea. That's a bad idea. That's bad. And while our registrations go down, All the John Calderas and the Dick Wadhams in 2022 said, we're just about to on victory, where we're just so close. And if we opt out of the primary, we lose. And
then we have the election and we get destroyed. The legal route. I want to see us pursue the legal route.
Well, I did the liberal. I raised the money. And what they said is, unless you try to change your bylaws, you are not going to win. And so that's what I did.
No,
you're against the litigation.
I'm not against the litigation.
Of course you are, because you're guaranteeing we can't win it.
Let me ask this.
Be quiet, Julie. Let him answer.
He has answered. I want to go back to something, though, that some of the people on the side are saying.
No, I want to hear his answer.
In a second. George, when you say that the main reason it seems like you're kind of opposed to this, one of the main reasons, is that people should be able to abstain. But what would you say to the people on the side who are saying, well, wait a minute, if you run for and are elected to the Central Committee, you're doing that because you know you're going to have to vote on issues. And if you don't want to vote on issues, maybe you should just resign. I mean, what's wrong with requiring our elected representatives to vote on an issue of great importance to the party?
Well, it aren't all the issues of great importance to the party. I mean, are there going to be some votes where we allow
this
people
one? No, what I mean is why, when you're saying that people should be able to abstain and have it be counted as a no, I mean, why, and saying that maybe, I mean, why shouldn't they be, if they're going to run, and this is what some people are saying, if they're running for the Central Committee and they're on the Central Committee, they shouldn't be abstaining anyway.
I agree. They ought to be held accountable for that. And they ought to not be renewed to the Central Committee. And whatever mechanism exists to force them to cast a vote is one thing. But this is not forcing them to vote. This is saying, if you don't vote, we're going to treat it like an affirmative. We don't. Let me give you an example. We don't do that anywhere else that Republicans control the universe. So right now, if you go to the DMV and you register your vehicle, there's a negative checkoff there that if you don't know about it, you don't look for it, you don't say, I don't want to pay it, you're presumed to want to pay for a state park pass. So POLIS can go out and say, hey, look at everybody, I've reduced our state park passes down from 100 something bucks to 47 bucks. Look what I've done. And he's done it on the backs of the apathetic. And we decry it because we say there's nothing more anti-consumer, anti-citizen than treating their apathy as some sort of affirmation. This isn't even acquiescence, that they're affirmatively supporting this.
Did you do litigation to overrule it?
To overrule the policy.
I don't. If Chuck, I know you're a trillionaire. If you wanted to start the George goes to court and fights all the battles fund, I'll be up. I'll sign up for it. But I don't. Have you,
Pro bono?
No.
The minute the bank says you can have a month off from your mortgage, I'll do the pro bono.
See, but that's what I mean. You don't like POLIS's one, but you do nothing about it. You don't
do nothing about it. It's that it's not
unconstitutional. You just complain about it on a radio show.
I decry it as a matter of policy that should be changed, but it's not unconstitutional.
Well, then why is mine unconstitutional?
Oh, I've never said yours is unconstitutional. I've said as a matter of principle.
Dick Wadhams did.
I know, but why am I defending Dick from the Stalinist?
Because you guys are in the same lily pad.
Why did you tell Donald Trump that the vice president could invalidate the certificate? No, you didn't do that. It was John Eastman. But see, I don't throw you in the same boat with that guy.
Well, please throw me in John Eastman. I'm happy to be thrown in the same.
You're going to get a chance to visit him, I'm sure. But having said that, I don't think this is unconstitutional. I don't like it. I do not like it because this is something we just don't do anywhere else in America. And that is to treat
I just read you Robert's Rules of Order saying this is an anathema to say two-thirds.
I think it sucks. Chuck, I'm not saying I
like something about it. Just don't go, I think it sucks.
It's not a question of could you do – Chuck, the thing that you do about it is you put something on the ballot to change it. You convince the majority of voters to undo that or to amend it. Or you go to court like Randy and John and you are. And you
I
get
went
the court
to court and they said you should have tried to amend your bylaws. And when I do try to amend the bylaws, you say that
was dicta. My understanding was you got kicked out on standing. I'm not sure why that wasn't.
They did.
He
went all the way through it. He told us what we had to do. So we got a federal judge who says we have to do it. And the minute we do it, we get everybody from the moderate ring of the Republican Party throwing sand in our face.
I'm not throwing sand in your face. I'm saying as a matter of principle, I would never support.
Is it principle to destroy our republic? Is it principle for Donald Trump, the main candidate, to be thrown in jail? Is it principle that we don't get to vote?
When you go that direction, what you're saying is the stakes are so high that we should be able to do just about anything to try to overcome them. And I don't believe that. I'm not a guy that says the outcome dictates the process.
Yes, you are, because you do the opposite. You say the Democrats can do whatever they want to us, and we just sit there like little sheep.
That's not true.
Well, when have you fought for us?
Chuck, I'm happy to tell you about the arguments that I've had on the radio, the positions that I've taken, the initiatives that I fought.
Have you contributed to the fund for the litigation?
No.
So how are you for the litigation? You haven't contributed a penny.
So there are any, just so that people know that are watching this, if you haven't contributed a dollar to Randy Corcoran or Chuck or Eastman, you are presumed to be opposed to the litigation. Just so you know that on the text.
Well,
that's what you're saying.
Because you say you're for it, but you won't help us.
Go ahead.
Let me try to put that in the form of a question. Let's see. So what George, I guess, first of all, I think there are some people would say that this isn't like doing every, this is one instance, one vote, right?
Where we have no choice.
One vote. And so if you, and all the people who say that you, oh, you do want to opt out, and yet we know that the Democrats, frankly, have put us in this box where they've made it impossible to opt out. Why not play by the Democrat rules for a change? And rather than say, well, we have to follow the rules because we've always followed the rules, why not say we're going to bring up some new rules that help us? And I mean, number one, I could say this. We know that this is a bad idea because Ted Trimpa came out.
Against it, yeah. You and Ted, you and Ted came out against it.
Yeah. Yeah, but I'm like, Ted, you're the architect of the blueprint. But I mean, why not push back? Why say, well, we are Republicans, we have to follow the rules? Why not say we have to follow the Democrat rules? What's wrong with saying, you know what, we're just going to change those rules a little bit in a way that it gives us an advantage, possibly? Because people,
I'm not opposed to the idea of changing the rules. I'm not opposed to the idea of going to court and fighting against this. I'm not opposed to the idea of going to the ballot and giving Coloradans the opportunity to undo this. But what I am opposed to is us saying, wink, wink, nudge, nudge, we would never do this anywhere else in self-governance. But because the stakes are so high here, and that's what, Chuck, when you get emotional about it, what I hear you saying is the country is at risk. And therefore,
it is.
Anything we do, whether it's a violation.
It's the least we can do. I try to take the gentlest. The least we can do. I did find
the least you could do is to put something on the ballot. The least
put something on the ballot. Judge Kane told us to do this. And you're saying, no. Don't do what he says. Don't amend the bylaws.
I didn't say don't do it. He didn't say to do this. That's for sure.
He said exactly this. He said that you can eat. He's telling us we can force people to vote or we can change the bylaws. Okay. I can suspend all members who don't vote. Are you for that?
I don't know if the suspension thing works or not, but I would prefer
Well, tell
that.
Me what
hold
does
on,
work.
Hold on. I would prefer that far more than telling someone that a non-vote is going to be treated
okay,
as an affirmative
vote. Okay, we'll do the Brockler Amendment. I'll propose that next.
That's going to be my next question.
Yeah, this is the
Can we call it Bonnie Wilt, too? Can we call
it
Bonnie
Wilt? No, I promise you. Promise you. I will put that up for vote in the next at the September meeting, and I'll call it the Brockler Amendment.
Don't call it the Brockler Amendment. Instead,
it's one you suggested.
Let me suggest this: if we could come up with a rule that would get us closer to the idea of a quorum and a percentage of the quorum, I'm all in favor of that.
That's what this does. It's the
only doesn't.
Here's
Jeff,
Robert's
doesn't.
Rules of Order. I did find it in prescribing a vote necessary for the adoption of an amendment. The expression, quote, a vote of 2/3 of the members should never be used in ordinary societies.
I agree.
Well, no, you don't agree, especially in large organizations with quorums smaller than a majority of the membership. As such, in societies, it is seldom that 2/3 of the members, that is 2/3 of the entire membership, is ever present at a meeting. You don't have a problem with that. You don't think that's a problem.
I disagree.
Then
it's just
do
how
something.
You go about it. I'm giving you a suggestion, man. Let's get back to something more like a quorum. But what you're saying is, do anything applies here?
Not anything. The least damaging, the mildest, the kindest. Rather than suspending people, rather than revoking their membership,
you're going to treat someone who's physically there and abstains, or someone who decides not to go. Or can't go. You're going to treat them as having said, yes, I want this
because
to happen.
Because right now it's
no. They do have a proxy, right? So that they...
If they do a proxy, but the ones that don't, you want to treat them as having said yes. That's
because they're treated as voting no now. They're treated as voting no now.
It's the functional equivalent of a no. It's not an actual no vote.
Functional equivalent of a no. We'll never get out of it.
Listen, when we vote for changes... Your non-vote for the change can't be viewed as a vote for the change. If you're changing something and you don't vote for it, that is in essence a vote for the status quo.
But what if you said that it takes a 99% vote of entire membership? Would that be okay with you?
No, I don't even like 75%. I don't like
that
either.
Why don't you do something about it?
But what's the problem, though? If people know, this is my other question, and I don't mean to just keep asking you, but I already know what Chuck is going to say. I mean, if people know that if they don't show up or they abstain, then it's going to be a yes vote. What's the problem there? I mean, where's
the world end?
Where's the side? I mean, they know, going
it's
in.
It's not a question of the world ending. It's a question of a principle that we apply nowhere else in self-governance.
Maybe
nowhere
we should.
Else.
I
well,
mean,
maybe we should.
Are,
should we? So listen, if you're going to ask, if you're going to say, hey, folks, we're all going to get together and have a meeting and we're going to vote for a big change, and we need to get X percentage of you to vote for that change. If you don't show up, why wouldn't you treat that as a vote to stay the status quo?
Because you're saying it's okay to have a vote for automatically considered no, but if we dare say it's a valid for there's no way out of the conundrum you're suggesting, because the
that's
court
not true.
Said it is. The litigation
that's
will
not
succeed. No, the litigation will not succeed unless we try to attempt a bylaw change, and that's what's told to us by Judge Kane. So we do what Judge
Kane
says.
That's not my understanding of what happened in that case. That's dicta.
I can read it to you.
You're reading me dicta. You're reading dicta. My understanding is it got kicked out
on
standing.
I was there. I watched him go through it. I spent all my money raising it for it.
I get it. It doesn't change that it's not an order of the court or a finding.
Correct, a closed nominee. Are you for the opt-out?
The who?
Opting out. He said he did.
Opting out.
Yeah, I want Republicans to vote for – I want Republicans to pick Republican nominees.
So you're for the opt-out?
I would, yeah. If we could put that on the ballot, I'd vote for that tomorrow.
Well, it's coming on the ballot. It'll be coming on the ballot on September 5th or whatever date it is.
I'm not on that committee.
Well, you were there in 2021.
If you were, would you
did
vote?
You vote for the opt-out?
I wasn't there.
Oh. Well, that's the problem. I'm for this.
You know why I wasn't there?
I don't even show up.
I was on the radio.
On the radio. I was on the state executive committee with you for a year and a half, and you didn't show up at a single meeting.
Not a single meeting.
That's not true. I show up on Zoom all the time.
Did you ever show up in person? I was there.
I can't remember.
No, I can remember because I was at every meeting. Didn't. And various meetings, you just gave your proxy to Christy Burton Brown. She'd go, oh, I've got George Brock's proxy.
I did that once.
That's beside the point. I think, though, the question would be from a practical and where I was kind of going with the principles is what's wrong with Republicans for a change and this thinking outside the box to find if the current rules don't serve us, and it's clear these don't, which you agree, the opt out, Republicans, then why not look for out of the box solutions? And, like I said, why not? I mean, what's wrong with that for this
There's nothing wrong with thinking outside the box. There's nothing wrong with it. I'm not saying it's unconstitutional. I'm telling you as a matter of principle, I can't envision any other scenario in life where you would say, I want to make a change. And if someone doesn't say, I also want that change, we treat them as having said, I want that change. And let me say this. I want the opt-out, but I want it for both parties because I think we cede an important part of the electorate if we're the only ones to pull that trigger. But if given the option,
Why do you believe that?
Because studies show, man, that when somebody casts a vote in a primary for somebody, the chances are they're going to end up voting with that person. No. And if we cede to – yes, that's true, buddy. I'm not making that up.
It's not true because that's exactly – and I've consulted with the chairman of the Virginia Republican Party. The Virginia Republican Party opted out of the statewide system and had their own primary. It was really an unassembled convention in which only people who registered and paid to be Republicans could vote, although – mail-in ballots went out for all Democrats, and they had their greatest victory ever. That's when Youngkin won. That's when Winston Sears won. That's when they took back the state. So Virginia, which is very similar in population as far as number of people, if in Virginia they were excluded from the Republican primary, but they overwhelmingly voted for the Republican primaries, what can you say is, the studies show that if we don't send them a ballot, it will be they will vote against us. Just the opposite happened in Virginia. They voted
clearly, and we've seen this in the last several election cycles. We ain't Virginia. We've got much bigger issues than Virginia has. We have much bigger issues than Virginia has. We have a completely different demographic base and electorate. We did things that Virginia's never done before. This has changed our state. Being first out of the chute on legalizing marijuana was a big blow to what we have going on. That's true.
They changed Having said all the that, voting. They changed hang, all the voting
hang
on.
Hang on. I don't. That's not it, man. We won with ballots with Cory Gardner and 2014? Cynthia Kaufman.
No,
yeah, I understand that.
We did. They did ballot harvesting starting in 2018. I mean, I've done ballot harvesting. Yeah. I mean, starting in 2002, because it was legal, I started doing ballot harvesting. If you run and you ballot harvest and your opponents do not, you lose. That's all there is to it.
So it's just like this fog
has been given over to us by Ted Trimpa.
Well, have we not ballot harvested? Why aren't we winning then?
What?
We don't ballot
harvest. We don't ballot harvest.
Why not?
Well, why not, George?
Yeah, I don't know. Why don't we do it?
Because it's incredibly expensive. Yeah. It's incredibly difficult.
Okay, but...
And thirdly, it's much easier when you walk into an apartment house of 600 people than you walk on a ranch where you get shot. But Donald Trump is asking that we have to do ballot harvesting where we can't get rid of it.
Yeah, listen, all I can tell you is that the laws that we have that limit the number of ballots you can turn in are unenforceable. And that's not just a prosecutor saying it. I asked the head elections guy at the Secretary of State's office under Griswold, and he agreed, completely unenforceable. I've never seen a case of it, ever. I don't think we ever could. So the question is, why aren't we doing it? And if the answer is, well, it's just too hard. It's too expensive. Well, that's on us, man.
Well, then why don't you head up the campaign? Why don't you head up the campaign, George?
The Brockler ballot harvesting campaign.
Ballot harvesting scheme, yeah. The Brockler ballot harvesting scheme.
This may be bad, where a silence is taken as an affirmative, right? And that is, speak now or forever hold your peace.
At a wedding.
At a wedding.
That's a good example, really.
Yes, that's true.
Which is commonly.
Yeah, that's it. Sadly, not a democracy, but yeah, I get it.
Let me, because we're kind of starting to run out of time. And George,
thank you very much for coming on. You've been great.
And then you can take, and then tomorrow morning at 7:10 CAN US, you can trash me. You can trash George.
No, I don't do that.
You don't do that. I know.
You're great.
So let me kind of just, let each of you have a couple of minutes to sort of sum up why you think one idea is a good idea or a bad idea.
I'll go first and give George the last word.
That's always happens to me too.
I feel like it's going to end. And right as I talk, Julie's going to go, well, that's all the time we have. Thank you so much.
We have gone through 2 decades of Democrats have changed every rule in the book, from ballot harvesting to mail-in ballots to absentee ballots. And we've never fought back. I raised all the money, was a lead plaintiff, to go to court to have a judge tell me, you actually have to amend your bylaws or try to amend your bylaws in order for us to take you seriously. So I amended the bylaw on a provision that says 75% of the all the members, which includes those who are absent, which Robert's Rules of Orders says we do not do it in ordinary societies. Yet we let it go. We let it go. So I propose a modest amendment, just saying if you don't show up, it's a yes, because we have to, if it was 50-50, I'd be happy to say it's neutral. But they pose on such a huge load, and it happens every 2 years. Even though no one will vote for it, the rules change back without a single vote of a single person. So I did what the court suggested, and I've been pillared and vilified. And I'm used to being vilified, so it's okay with me.
What happens with Stalinists.
And Aquariuses.
Am I being interrupted?
That's right.
a modest amendment. And, of course, all the people who really don't want us to opt out have gone into it. George just said he wants to opt out for both parties. Well, we can't opt out for both parties. We can only opt out for the party we belong to.
Unless the lawsuit wins.
No, because they won't let us, because they say we didn't try to opt out. So I've been part of the lawsuit. We will not win unless we opt out, and they oppose us opting out. So it's obvious. if you want to fight for your rights, if you want to retain a republic, if you want to go against the Democrats, stand up, be proud, and vote yes on the Bonnie Wall Amendment.
There you go. All right, George.
That felt like a closing argument, Chuck.
he was practicing his speech, too, for Saturday. It was very nice.
Yeah, that was very nice. And then it'll be applause, balloons. Turn
on the applause button, Julie.
A couple things. I don't agree with your characterization of the lawsuit that you funded and that you sat through in terms of the reason the judge ruled the way he did, nor the impact of his dicta. My sense is, having read the petition that John Eastman and Randy helped craft and submit, and I did read it today, that this is a very different approach. The complaint, it doesn't require, they're asking for declaratory relief and stuff. It does not require there to have been any prior efforts on behalf of the party to have done this, that, or the other. It's much more in the context of the violation of freedom of association for the First Amendment, which it really wouldn't matter what our percentage to opt out was. It's the principle of the thing. And it's a principle I adhere to. That is, a private political organization should not be dictated to who is part of that private political organization. I don't believe that. So I'm not in favor of Proposition 108. I didn't support Proposition 108. But I'll tell you this, having had the Colorado voters weigh in on it, even opposed to what I thought, makes it far more impactful, important, and necessary to follow than Robert's rules. Those are great. Those are important things, part of a discussion. In no way does that trump, no pun intended, this proposition. And so I want us to fight, but I want our fights to be consistent with our principles. And the things that I hear here, and the approach that this takes, is to say, let's do something with a vote that we would never tolerate anywhere else outside of Julie's wedding that she brought up, that we would never tolerate anywhere else. And we're going to treat someone's silence, failure to appear, their non-voting, their abstention, whatever it is, we're going to treat anything other than a no vote as an agreement for a change. We just don't do that anywhere in America. So my concern with some of the discussion we've had is it's been painted as, well, then you don't want to fight. You don't want to fight because you're not interested in changing this thing on this single thing to get us to the place we want to be. And you're right. What I don't want to do is ever say the ends justify the means. And that party can do it all day long. And it may be in part to some of our detriment. But if we start carving that out here, where does it end? And it's not a slippery slope argument. It's a principled argument. Where do we stop saying country's at risk? We need to take these steps. Country's at risk. We need to do those steps. This is dire. We need to make this change. I'm not there. I'm about 85% of the way with Chuck down the field. And at the end, he has said, you know what? Let's just run into the end zone while they're in their huddle and we'll call that a touchdown and then we win. And it's like, but that's not the rules. And well, screw the rules. We need to win. I'm not that guy. I'm not the guy that says no matter what we do, it's all okay as long as we get the outcome we want. And that's what this feels like to me. It's not a don't fight. It's not try to get Republicans back to voting for Republicans. It's this particular method. I don't think it's worth sacrificing our principles for it. That's what I think.
All right.
Now, in
criminal prosecution, rebuttal? Is this rebuttal?
Well, don't prosecutors get to first and last in criminal court? No,
that's
I won't say anything.
Because the burden is higher. The burden is so much higher than
I won't say anything
on the Chuck
more.
And Julie show. There's already a presumption of guilt for me. So,
well, I want to thank you very much, George. Great,
closing
argument, and it's great to have you on. I really appreciate you coming on
and
giving us a debate. You're great. You're great.
No, I really appreciate, one, our friendship, the collegiality that we have, even when we disagree on things like math and stuff. I love coming on. Let me know anytime we can have this conversation. And if you get that fund started up, Chuck, the Send George Into Court fund, please text me. Please text me.
I've already got it as long as you're willing to go pro bono. We'll cover the cost.
That's the absence.
I don't know. It costs a lot of money to even go pro bono.
I've got to put my objection on the record because if I don't object to it, you're going to treat it like I consent to it. I'm not.
There you go.
Thank you. Thank you. who did a great job. Everybody, I know your comments are great. We'll have a debriefing on Friday. And thank you to everybody on Zoom. If you are listening or want to share this, you can catch everything. ChuckandJulie.com, links to everywhere. That's it for us today. We will see everybody on Party Friday.
Party Friday.
It'll be a party. Thanks, George.
Thank you, George.
See you again.